You are listening to the Wool Academy podcast. This is episode number 25. Hello and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Van Delden, and once a week we talk to an industry expert from the wool industry supply chain, from farm to fashion and beyond, delivering strategies and insights to be successful in wool and showcasing those beautiful stories wool has to tell. Today on the show, we talk to Jen Hunter. Jen lives together with her husband and two sons on Fernhill Farm in the UK. There, they have turned around a rundown property into a flourishing business, which Jen will tell us all about today. Welcome, Jen. So good to talk to you.
Hello, Elizabeth. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yeah, great. And I only just gave a very brief introduction about yourself. Please start us off by telling us more about yourself.
Okay, so I'm from the north of England originally, so I'm very much a farmer's daughter. Grew up with lots of relatives all around rearing livestock, although my immediate family are more kind of moved into design and manufacture these days. So I studied animal husbandry, animal science, came out with a degree sort of back in 98, and we only really studied conventional agriculture, which kind of left me a little bit disillusioned. So I explored organics. I've kind of done education. I worked for voluntary service overseas in Uganda for a couple of years, worked for the Soil Association, and then came to be a livestock manager doing vocational GCSEs in animal husbandry at a city farm in Bristol. So graduated south, really. I kind of was looking for a shearing machine, and that's how I came to find Andy. That was 12 years ago. We've now got our two children, and I guess I've got a passion for life in all aspects. I love travel. I love growing my own meat and my own veg. I pretty much follow a paleo diet these days. I do lots of yoga and look after myself, and I'm really interested in textiles. So yeah, very varied lifestyle.
Yeah, it seems you're a multi-passionate person. That's very, always very interesting. And
yeah.
Tell us how you combine all your different passions and interests on your farm. And what is so special about Fernhill Farm?
Fernhill Farm has got a very, very long history. We're very close to Cheddar Gorge, Wookie Hole Caves down here in Somerset. So we still today find flints on the farm. In fact, last week my two boys were having a clay mud fight and they found a flint. So it dates back a long, long time as a gathering space up on the hill here on the Mendip Hills. It's got a history of mining, common grazing, then moved into farmsteads. Andy kind of found it 20 years ago and it was in a very derelict state. There's a curtilage of old stone buildings, date back to 1770. So we kind of spent a lot of our time rebuilding the traditional farmstead and it welcomed lots of visitors. So I can manage to combine all of that with livestock and people farming, as we joke about.
Yeah, go a little bit deeper. Tell us maybe what the different income streams are, or also what all you do at Fernhill Farm.
Okay, so Andy is the shepherd. He's been a shepherd all his life. He's done contract shearing for a long time. Now is moving more into contract shepherding, conservation, grazing, and we've got 3,000 of our own sheep. We've got a herd of Aberdeen Angus and we've got some pigs in the woods. So we produce our own meat products, and I actually manage an events business from the farm where we welcome over 15,000 visitors every year. They come to stay in our accommodation units, or they come to an event here, which might be a wedding, a festival, a stag party, hen weekend, things like that. We also run educational weeks, therapeutics days, lots of different groups come and stay with us. So I'm kind of like a bit of a yes person, really. I spend most of my day having the ability to say yes to somebody that wants to come and access our farm for a reason that they've got, you know, whatever it is that we're looking to do, really. So So yeah, very multifaceted business, really.
Wow. Yeah, that's I cannot imagine how you manage your day with so many different activities going on.
Yeah, no two days are really the same, except, you know, with our children, obviously there is the routine there, so, but they're very active out on the farm as well, helping, so.
Wonderful. And tell us a little bit more about the wool side of your business. How do you, happens with your wool, etc.?
Okay, the wool side of it is not really a standalone business. It's kind of just part of the whole enterprise. Andy has always had a real passion for wool and textiles. You know, years ago he did fashion shows, garment designs, and we've always run quite a large flock of pure Shetlands. So it kind of, for me, it started back in 2009 when we were offered a mere sort of 12 pence per kilo for our pure Shetland fleeces. I found that quite upsetting because we had a really natural array, we had a large volume. And so I kind of set out looking for buyers. Since then, we've been supplying the Natural Fibre Company down in Cornwall with our Shetland fleeces. I now supply other smaller sort of hand spinning businesses so they can add value to it with knitting patterns or various other different products. And the passion kind of grew, really. The wool was, you know, just delightful to work with, but equally very frustrating. I had to learn how to sort and grade, which isn't something that you can be taught realistically in this country. So I've had to listen a lot and build up a reputation for selling good quality fleeces, you know, into the hand spinning industry. So that kind of left me with what I would consider the seconds or even the reject part of the fleeces. And I had volumes of it and I didn't really know what to do with it. So I explored different markets. We now make that into felt and it's kind of just sort of gradually growing. Making a few side steps, which is really just listening to what people are looking for. It's a difficult enterprise. We don't have a lot of time for it, but it's something that we're both very passionate about. And I think the future is going to happen in the next sort of few years, really. Yeah.
And tell me, I think this experience that you or this kind of frustration that you had in 2009 that you just mentioned, was that then also what motivated you to study wool in more detail? Because I remember that you were awarded the Nuffield Scholarship.
And yeah, that's correct.
Tell us a little bit more about that journey back then and what you have learned on your study tour based with the scholarship.
Yeah, so Nuffield came along at a great time. We were looking for resources to help us rebuild our sort of listed properties here. So we looked to buying wool insulation or even creating our own wool insulation. I'd looked at creating a range of products sort of way back then. We were looking at maybe 5,000 visitors every year. I wanted to create a range of products so that we could sell more than just bed and breakfast. And it was kind of really frustrating. As a sheep farmer, we have got no exposure to the textile industry at all. I had no concept of or idea of what the wool needed to go through before it was a range of products. And, you know, I'd done a little bit of research here and there. And just felt really frustrated that there was nowhere to go to, nobody to even sort of collaborate with or talk to. We joke about it. I was sort of, you know, saying to Andy, I want to do this, I can't do that. And, you know, he sort of rightly so said, you should go and tell Nuffield Farming. And so I did, and I was awarded a scholarship. And that was just a fantastic opportunity. So we started doing our Contemporary Scholars Conference in Australia, which was prime location to understand what happens to wool in a country that base it as a primary product rather than simply a byproduct from the sheep meat industry as we do over here in Europe. So I spent time with Merino farmers, looked at what the Australian wool innovation were getting up to, which was a fantastic start to my research. I wanted to go some places where, you know, there was sheep farmers who were growing wool for their own country. So a sheep country that was a producer and a consumer of wool. So I headed up to Iceland, Norway, Copenhagen, and that's where I came across the value of a traditional trusted item, such as the Nordic jumper or the slipper. I was introduced to the Nordic Initiative Clean and Ethical concepts, which I found fascinating. And the environmental profit and loss account was something that's really stuck in my mind when it comes to creating our own range of products. So yeah, it's all very interesting. I did a little bit more research in Europe, which is where I think we both sort of met for the first time.
Yes, in Brussels
when with the IWTO. That was fantastic. But really, I guess, you know, the highlight of my journey with Nuffield was definitely going over to South America. I sort of came across there was multi-purpose genetics using the Merino. We kind of consider our ewes to be multi-purpose animals. They are land management tools. They grow meat and they grow wool. So it was fantastic to think that I'm not the only person that thinks like this. And we came across holistic management. And yeah, just generally a concept which I could really relate to what we were already doing back here at Fernhill Farm. So yeah, a fantastic experience. Yeah.
And how have you applied the things that you learned during your study tour then on your farm?
I'm still sort of implementing a lot of, you know, a lot of the things that I have discovered. Some of those I believe will probably take maybe 10 years. Some of them are much more immediate. The writing of the report really helped me pinpoint our mission, where we want to get to by 2020. So the full details are available on the Nuffield Farming Scholarship website. There's a report there and a video link to my sort of findings. So really, we're focusing on the land management at the moment. We are in the midst of our own holistic management training modules. There's a potential opportunity to become a centre for holistic management down the line somewhere. We're collecting data all the time. We're confident that we've got the right genetics at the moment. We've got the Shetland primitive breed crossed with the improved Romney genetics, which creates a fantastic dual-purpose commercial ewe. So we're having fantastic results with those pre-lamb shearing them, lambing outside in this glorious April sunshine. So yeah, things are moving in the right direction for genetics for meat and wool and land management there. I've always trying to simplify my harvesting techniques, because we get the 13 or the 11 recognised colours of the pure Shetland. We were also looking at the three different colours, which is a pure white, a mixed grey and a dark brown within our Romney Shetland flock. So yeah, harvesting is very much about adding value on the day at shearing and making it available into different size bags for sale from the farm gate. I'm always interested in collaboration, working with different businesses so that we can add value by pre-processing, which to me is just washing it. We're doing that with our lamb's wool, which we get in larger volumes, so I can sell that as a washed resource ready for spinners. And I'm always experimenting with my microbial wool washing. It seems to be a fantastic way of cleansing fleece, where I keep the nutrients to water my plants in the polytunnel. So I'd love to continue that research at some point. And messages to the consumer is something that I'm always working on. So yeah, it's all happening, just quite slow sometimes.
Wow, okay, that's a lot of goals ahead for you. Tell me a little bit, when you have visitors to your farm, how do they experience, what are their experiences on your farm? And also maybe a little bit, how do they experience wool and the sheep?
Okay, that's interesting you say experience, because we've always said Fernhill Farm experience. We've never been able to change that word. We are still a building site, and unfortunately, you know, it takes a lot of time and capital investment to rebuild a farmstead of this size. But experiencing a real environment is what people love and trust about coming down our old farm drive, I believe. So they would get to see the sheep in the fields all around. We educate them on that soil is our most precious resource. So if they want to come and run an event here, they would actually be encouraged to use our agricultural buildings rather than putting up structures out into the fields. We do farm walks, we do educational visits, and we offer them meat, which is, and vegetables, which is grown here from the land. We even run sheep shearing competitions and experiences for smaller groups, and we run the blade shearing tournament twice a year. So we are continually encouraging people to ask questions. Lots of people that come here from urban environments, and so they generally don't know what questions to ask. So by simply doing a farm walk, we can highlight some of the aspects that are current and tradition at the same time. So the wool side of it is something that I'm working on. We've got plans to build some a better farm office with a wool shop, and obviously my wool store is here, so I do allow access into that, but it's something that's very much in the pipeline for the next 5 years really. And my strap line is, you know, we are the source of the resource, and to be able to see the sheepdogs bringing in the sheep, the shearing aspect, right through to the selling of the product is something that most people are very excited about. Yeah, it's good.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And yes, I think we had already a few people on the show saying that there's this big gap between the rural communities and the urban consumers. And it's great to have these kind of centers like Fernhill Farm where people can... Yeah, I guess it's the word, experience, what farming and agriculture is all about.
Yeah, we're very lucky, Andrew and myself, in that, you know, we do really like people. You know, we find it very rewarding to invite people to our family farm. And yeah, we love the collaboration and the questions. You know, we're always asking, you know, for more questions so that we can help explain our lives and the importance of backing British agriculture. Yeah.
Great. And is there something you would recommend that maybe other farmers or other wool growers listening to the show, what they can learn from your experience?
That's always a really tricky one. I mean, we have got a very different fibre product range compared to lots of other, certainly local farmers, you know, just by simply changing the genetics, the wool that we're producing is of about sort of 20 microns, certainly with the lamb's wool and the Shetland. It's, you know, it's a very low micron range. Majority of fibres grown, you know, in the UK probably is more of a carpet or a rug kind of textile, but that kind of gives out the wrong messages. So I guess if you're interested in producing some of your own products, then I think getting it micron tested is something that's really important. I personally struggled with this, but I found a means of doing it over with the WTA in North Wales. They were fantastic. And I encourage more people to know what you're trying to sell in the first place. That will then determine what product range you can create. And, you know, I'm more than happy to liaise with people and explain, you know, how the washing and the spinning and the weaving process can be made easier. That's one of my goals, is to encourage more people to think about investing in their own resource and creating a range of products that they're really proud to sell. Yeah.
That's a really nice message to end. maybe before we wrap up, what's the best way for listeners to learn more about Fernhill Farm and to connect with you?
Okay, so we've got a website. It's not our greatest thing. We don't find that much time to add to our website, but it's there for information. We're quite active on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram these days. But at the end of the day, we're farmers and we do really like to have a good chat on the phone or even face-to-face. So we do welcome lots of people here. Sometimes it's easier for me to show what we're up to rather than explain it. So yeah, lots of different options, yeah.
Great, yeah, and we'll make sure to link to your website and your social media accounts in the show notes. And yeah, thank you, Jen, for your time. Now that we heard how many ideas you have and how busy you are, I think we will let you go and continue your great work in educating people and making the best out of the resources that you and the sources that you produce.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Yeah, I'm very excited. Every day I find some new inspiration from, you know, some wonderful people out there who really value wool, and that just, you know, keeps me going, which is fantastic. So thank you very much for the interview.
Yeah, thank you as well. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hopefully you enjoyed today's interview with Jen Hunter. Find out more about Jen by looking at the show notes of today's episode. You can find all details about Fernhill Farm and Jen at elizabethvandelden.com/025. Once again, visit elizabethvandelden.com/025. We love that you're listening to this podcast. Make sure you also connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you there, and bye for now.